Beautiful song. And beautiful playing to Mr. Lawrence. It's beautiful. Amen. So, it's been a while, right? There's like, is Patrick going to preach again? All right. I got sick, and then I had a camp that I already had Mr. Andy planned for that, by the way. Okay, Mr. Andy knew about that a month or so ago. But I did get sick the week before, and I'm sure Uncle Jimmy and Mr. Andy bless you guys' heart. But I'm back. All right. Well, let me go ahead and tell you. All right. So just to go back. So we had finished Mark chapter 4. Okay. That was sermon number 16. You see what sermon it is today?
18.
Yeah, we are skipping number 17. Let me tell you why. All right, we'll do it next week. The reason why is because this actually goes with a Father's Day sermon. But then I got sick, and so it threw the week off, okay? All right, so y'all be okay, right? Everybody be okay. So next week, we'll go back into number 17. We'll do Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20 next week, entitled Begging Jesus, okay? Begging Jesus. That's next week. But I want to skip to verse 21. Okay, because I want to do this sermon, and as you see, it's called A Paternal Pattern to Pursue. Now, if you want to change the letters in there a little bit, you can for yourself, if you're a female, you're a lady today, you can make that a parental pattern to pursue, okay? Because you're not off the hook, okay? And now we're going to focus on the fathers, but I want everybody to focus in today. So some of the funnier tweets, Twitter posts, okay, about fatherhood. There's several from a guy named Exploding Unicorn. In fact, most of them are. There's a guy named Daddy Jew, Goats, Conan O'Brien, and Cheese Boy, and the Cat Whisperer. I'm trying to give them credit, okay? You don't know who they are? I don't know who they are, okay? But these are some pretty funny tweets that go with fatherhood. So here we go. So here's the first one. I have several. I accidentally dripped some mustard on my newborn daughter's forehead. And long story short, a nurse just walked in and saw me lick the baby. That sounds about right, right? The next one, watching the kids play hide and seek in the park, and mine just hid behind a chain link fence. At least we don't have to save for college. Daddy, can I tell you a secret? Sure thing, buddy. Grabs my face and whispers, I just pooped and I didn't wash my hands. Finally gets the car seat installed correctly. Some of y'all remember that. Okay, that's the first part in parentheses. Finally gets the car seat installed correctly. Where's the baby? Wife, in college. So it took that long to do it. That was us. I had to get Sally to help me. I'm like, man, I don't know. I don't know if it's facing the right way. I have no idea. Okay. Don't ask me if I've seen a new movie. Okay, I have four little girls. If there wasn't a singing princess in it, the answer is no. Right? That some of y'all can relate to that, right? My youngest is being tested for the gifted program at his elementary school, and my other son thinks his toothbrush is haunted. Sounds about right. Okay. Don't dance while you're wiping your butt. That concludes today's edition of Things I Never Thought I'd Have to Tell. I have to yell at my kids. I constantly Google how to put your kids up for adoption so my kids can find it on my search history and know that I'm not messing around. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. All right. And three more. Conan O'Brien actually said this one. Just taught my kids about taxes by eating 38% of their ice cream. Yeah. And, you know, we're supposed to eat all the rest of the food, right? Mr. Mike, that's a dad's job. You can't give it to me. A cute thing, this is so mean, a cute thing I tell my kids when we see a dead deer on the side of the road is, looks like Santa lost his temper again. I know Kevin would like that one. I'm glad y'all like me today. And last one, babies are okay if you're into alarm clocks that poop. So if you're like that, then you're... Okay, notice the difference in the content from Mother's Day to Father's Day. You've already seen the difference already from a couple weeks ago. All right, so with that said, in this text, and y'all, it's just so, how it worked out is just so, it's just so funny, so God anyway. I didn't really plan to do a Father's Day message specifically, but it just worked out. as I was in the scripture. I know it kind of messed up with me being sick a couple weeks ago, but it's in the scripture that we're going through, okay, as we look at Jairus today. Okay, so and Miss Dolores is going to love me today. I'm keeping my Father's Day. Pastor's Baptist preaching card for a whole year just from today. Okay, all right. And you're going to get tired of the peas today. All right. Okay. So a parental pattern to pursue, a parental pattern or paternal, whichever one you want to go with today, is one that consists of. And there's 7 points. So if you're taking notes today, those 7 words. Okay. Position. Don't worry, it'll be up there a lot. Okay. Position, posture, petition, patience, perseverance, praise, and provision. And so we're going to see all 7 of those in the scripture today. All right? And I'm going to ask you to reflect on each point, or should I say, I'm going to give you a proposition to ponder. Ah, okay, you like that. I'm extra credit on that one. All right, number one, position or profession. Either or, it works, okay? See, I can recall when I was in college, man, and my daddy's here today, and my mom's probably going to watch later, and I appreciate you guys, and my stepmom's here today. I love you guys. Thank y'all for being here. But I don't know if you remember this, Daddy, but I can recall stressing a good bit in college about what field to go in. You know, I think I mentioned this before. I thought I was supposed to be going to accounting because my uncle did. You know, I was good at math. I took 2 accounting classes, made A's in both of them. You know, but God, you know, I was a marketing major. I was a sociology major. For like a couple weeks, you know, and took classes, made good, did well in them, you know, but was kind of all over the place. But just, you know, what should I do? And it was so stressful. And then I can remember working in Alabama my first year teaching, and at the end of the year had an opportunity to go to Brunswick, and I'm like, God, what do you want me to do? I don't know what to do. You know, what position should I take? What profession should I go there? Should I stay here? And so that can be a really tough thing to do. Let's look in the first couple verses in our text today. So we're starting again. We're skipping the first 20. We'll go back to those next week. All right, verse 21. When Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the sea. One of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. It's like, when you look at position. So Jairus' position was a synagogue leader. Okay? Now, I want to start with this question. Does what you do define you? Is it what you do, or is it who you are? Does what you do define you? See, because our culture tells us that what's really more important is what we do. That's what our culture tells us. All right, and to some degree, I can understand in high school, you want to kind of help students, you know, and you can have like a college track or a track to go straight to a profession, which is great, and I get that. But it seems like that's what our culture does. Is that what you do is the most important thing, Tom. All right, but really, it's who we are and who you are. See, Jairus was a synagogue leader, and so many of them at that time were opposed to Jesus. Okay, so what did they do? He was like an elder. Kind of like a small pastor, probably something like my job, okay? He took care, kind of a local pastor, kind of taking care of different things in a temple, making sure everything was running correctly and had everything set up. He was a leader. He was a man of consequence. He was a respected man, mostly because of his profession, his position as religious leader. But then today we see in the scripture that he goes to Christ anyway. And so he doesn't let his position keep him from going to Christ, which would have been taboo for him because he was a leader. That was a lot of them were opposed to Christ. All right, so keep that in mind. So even when his friends probably would have been unhappy with him, and the other religious leaders like, Josh, what you doing? Well, don't go. Jesus don't know what he's talking about. What are you going to him for? Probably talked about him behind his back. Nah, that never happened, right? Okay, but that didn't stop him. Another question I want to ask is, have you thought about how you can be used by God in your current position? In your current position. And again, this is, again, for all involved, male and female today. So y'all remember Joseph? Y'all know the story about Joseph. I love Joseph. He's one of my favorite person in the Bible, other than Jesus, of course. But think about his situation. He was in many different positions in life, wasn't he? I mean, he was favored son, and then he was slave. And then he was an assistant to the captain of the guards in Egypt. And then he was a prisoner. And then he was exalted back up to second in kingdom, only behind Pharaoh himself. All that. And he was faithful, all right, every step of the way. Now, you could argue he kind of messed up at the beginning, okay? All right, but he was faithful as he went through those situations. Right? And he even when he was a slave, he God blessed him. Whatever he took, you just see that through the scripture that God, whatever Joseph did, God had a hand on it. He honored God in his positions, right? To the point where he helped the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. They asked him some questions about a dream, and let's look at that. Genesis 40 verse 21 to 41:1. It says Pharaoh restored. So it turned out just as Joseph told him it would. Okay, all right. It says Pharaoh restored the chief cupbearer to his position as cupbearer, and he placed a cup in Pharaoh's hand. But Pharaoh hanged the chief baker just as Joseph had explained to him. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. And this is another side sermon. Okay, there was a time in my life where the verse one really mattered. At the end of 2 years, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing beside the Nile. And that hit me really was important to me at that time because I was moved to a position I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go to. Right? And then I'm reading the scripture and it says, 2 years, I'm not the only one. You know, we have a tendency to say, oh, woe is me. Oh, poor Patrick. You know, poor us. You know, this happened to us. But you see that it was 2 years. 2 years he had to be patient. You know, The cupbearer forgot about him. It wasn't like 2 weeks, 2 years though. 2 years he continued to be faithful to God. In the end, Genesis 41:8-9 finally comes back to the cupbearer. When morning came, he was troubled, so he summoned all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. Pharaoh told them his dreams. Now, Pharaoh has a dream. He gathers all the people and says, hey, tell me the dream. But no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, today I remember my faults. There's a guy that's in prison right now, okay, that can do it for you, right? Gosh, I forgot about old Joseph. Yeah. See, use your position. Use your platform for God. Another piece. If you have been exalted to a loftier position, use it for God. If you've been demoted, keep serving God, amen? Be used by God in whatever position you hold, basically. And it's ironic, y'all, I worked on this sermon several weeks ago at this point. And what happened to me this week? Tuesday morning, I find out that I have a new position. So I'm not teaching PE anymore. And I'll be teaching civics next year. And so the good thing is I'm teaching my daughter. That'd be fun. All right. But my position has changed. So this speaks to me for sure. And a side road sermon that I don't know if there's anybody here. So, but I'm going to say it anyway. And you can, if somebody's watching online, okay, who is this in this position. If you're single, get a job. Okay, especially a young man, and you're dating somebody, you're courting somebody, get a job. I'm talking to anybody on Facebook that you know, get a job, make yourself, get a position. Don't try to ask some girl's hand in marriage until you have one, all right? Okay, that's just a bit of advice. Jairus had a special position, but this did not keep him from coming to Christ. And so the proposition to ponder, right, is next. Is your position, is your profession keeping you away from God, or are you being used by God in that position, in that profession? Another way to ask it is, are you striving to honor God in whatever position, profession you currently have? You know, again, this has spoke to me just this week, and I didn't know I was going to go off on this, but just last week, or 2 weeks ago at camp, and it was reminded to me, because I'm thinking, you know, should I just retire? Should I go work for SCA, right, and just give up this teaching thing? But it's like God confirmed to me, you just keep doing what you're doing. All right? You're having an impact. Use your position for Christ. I had a young man who even said, and I'm not gonna cry anymore because I've cried enough about this. But he said, as he prayed for me, that he might not have gotten through his grade this year if it wasn't for seeing my Christian witness every day. I had no idea. All right, so you never know. All right, never know. And that was such an encouragement to me. So a parental pattern to pursue. If you're taking notes. It consists of position. Next one is going to be posture. I'm not going to read all the rest of it that's up there, right? But we're going to look at posture next. So, number two, posture. So, y'all know we have a little Skippy. And no, I haven't hit him with a golf ball lately, Mr. Steve. All right? Skippy is doing great. All right, Skippy knows it is so funny. He knows when he's in trouble. All right, and he runs from Daddy. All right, he cowers and he goes to Sally up here on Sally's neck. Okay, like, let me get away from Daddy. All right, because I messed up. I had an accident. So his posture, like, he knows. His posture is obvious. It gives him away every time. Okay, Mark chapter 5, verse 22. So we have Jairus coming. One of the synagogue leaders named Jairus. I know, I think I've already mentioned that first idea, but I want to go back to the end of this, end of verse 22. He came, we know he came in spite of his position, and when he saw Jesus, what did he do? He fell at his feet. That was his posture. His posture. See, he fell before Jesus. And it's likely that just Jairus, being in the position that he was, he would have been pretty wealthy. But see, that couldn't save his daughter. That couldn't save his daughter. Again, this is a leader, and he recognized that Jesus is higher than he is. He humbles himself, and he recognized that just Jesus could possibly help him. Y'all are familiar with the verse 2 Chronicles 7:14, my people who bear my name humble themselves, pray and seek my face, and turn from evil ways, and I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. See, humble themselves. Until we as men humble ourselves. And boy, do we have a hard time with that. Amen or amen. All right? I mean, we are taught, think about it for a second. Think about what our culture tells us. We are taught from a young age to be brave, to have courage. Right? And we love these movies that have that, man. I get fired up with them, you know, to show no fear in the face of hard times, right? Right, Brother Tommy? To pull up ourselves from our bootstraps, to be a man, have courage, have be brave, not quit, do whatever we can. To work hard, to do, right? Am I right? I'm preaching the truth, right? See? And it puffs us up because then we don't ask for help. We don't ask for help because we handle it. We can handle ourselves. Pride comes before a fall, right? We don't think we really need any help again because we can handle ourselves, all right? And that, amen, remember, it preaches to me first. Proverbs 18:12, let's look at some of the verses that support that. Before his downfall, a person's heart is proud. But humility comes before honor. And then Matthew 23:12, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus turns things around, right? Like he does in our lives. Humility is not easy in our world today. A world that pumps up the idea of the opposite, right? Pride. Charles Spurgeon said it was an unusual thing for a ruler of the synagogue to be at Jesus' feet. Yet that is the best place for us all. God, if God has placed any of us in an eminent position, it will do us well to fall at Jesus' feet as Jairus did. What brought Jairus there? It was his great need, and that is what will bring us there. Amen. So, the proposition to ponder: is your posture one of humility or pride? Men and women, what is your posture? What is your posture? Can you handle it yourself, type A personality, or do you humble yourself before God? And so, a parental pattern to pursue. It's one that consists of, number one, position, number two, posture, next one, petition. At the end of a revival service, the evangelist invited people to come forward if they wanted someone to pray for them. About midway through the line of people stood an imposing, intimidating-looking man. When the minister asked about his prayer request, a burly guy said, "Reverend, I need you to pray for my hearing." The evangelist quickly placed his hands over the man's ears and prayed fervently for restored hearing. When the minister finished praying, he looked the man squarely in the eyes and shouted above the choir's strong singing, "How's your hearing now?" The man loudly replied, "I don't know yet, preacher. My hearing ain't until next Wednesday at the courthouse." You like that one? Let's back to the text. Go back to the text. Mark 5, verse 23. What did Jairus do? He comes, he goes to Jesus despite his position. He humbles himself. He falls at his feet and begged him earnestly. Verse 23. Begged him earnestly. "My little daughter is dying. Come and lay your hands on her so that she can get well and live." You see it? That's prayer. That's petition. He went to Jesus and asked him something. "I have this problem. Can you help me with it, Jesus?" See, lost my place. Okay. Yes. Jesus fell at his feet. Jairus fell at his feet and pleaded with him to heal his daughter. He's desperate. See, this is his prayer. This is his petition. And by the way, I love the details. The word that says dying, okay, that word is actually a colloquialism for at death's door. Okay, she is going fast. Okay? If she was a baseball for the Chicago White Sox announcer, say she gone. All right? Some of y'all get that later if you ever watch Chicago White Sox. Right? But anyway, all right? But she is about gone. And how often, by the way, how often do we all, dads or moms, how often do we fall at the feet of Jesus and plead with him on behalf of our children? Right? I see the nodding of heads there. It should be on a regular basis, by the way. It should be on a regular basis every day. Right? See, don't wait to go to Christ whenever there's a crisis. Mr. Lord's going to love this. Make a pattern of it. Make it a practice of prayer. The Psalm 63, verse 1. What does it say in the Psalms there? A couple places. God, you are my God. I eagerly seek you. I thirst for you. My body faints for you in a land that is dry, desolate, and without water. You are my God. I'm not. I'm seeking you. I'm thirsting for you. Psalm 5, verse 3. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I plead my case to you and watch expectantly. Now, can you do it some other times? Yeah, sure. I think the Bible talked a few times about in the morning being a good time. And in addition to this, how about we pray, this will preach, by the way. How about we pray for our children as fervently as we take them to the ball field or other pastimes or fishing? Now, that's fine. I mean, do we want our kids to be the next great athlete or a humble disciple of Christ? Yes, you can do both. I'm not saying that, but the chances of your child being a Division I athlete is around 1%. The chances of your child being before God for judgment is 100%. Okay. What do our actual activities or priorities say is the answer to that question. Oh man, Brother Patrick, you're stepping on our toes a little bit. I hope so, because otherwise we would see our children step right into sin and death way too easily. Pray. 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 So the proposition to ponder is, do you regularly petition God on behalf of your children? And maybe you don't have children per se, like, or maybe they've grown up. See? You can pray for your children at school, right? Even if you're not a teacher, yeah? You can pray for us, yeah? Which we're going to have a prayer walk as we get closer to school year. Make it a day that more people can come, right? And hopefully you'll join us, but hopefully you'll pray anyway. Right? Pray regularly for the next generation. See, a parental pattern to pursue is one that consists of position, posture, petition, and number four, patience. Now, I developed a whole lot more of this whenever I got married to Sally, y'all. I did not have a lot of patience before I got married. I don't know how. I'm not saying, I don't know why. I just, you know, I would just go off in the classroom and real quick, you know. And so, patience. I mean, I would argue that this is a quality that is tough for a lot of men. A lot of people, okay, in general, but I think especially men. We don't like waiting, right? We don't like getting behind a slow car, right, Daddy? All right? And, you know, on the racetrack and on the I-75. We don't like waiting in line, you know. We want to do something, so waiting is not in our DNA, all right? Well, check this out. Look at this. So in the middle of this, by the way, so that Mark does this a few times. This is not the first time that we've studied Mark and we've seen him do this. He puts a story within the story, and he starts with a story, slides in a different story, comes back to the first story at the end. Exactly what happens here. So stay with me. So keep in mind, Jairus has come. His daughter's dying. He asked Jesus to help, and then this happens. So Jesus went with him. So he's going with Jairus. And a large crowd was following and pressing against him. Now a woman suffering from bleeding for 12 years had endured much under many doctors. She had spent everything she had and was not helped at all. On the contrary, she became worse. Now we're not going to go into detail about this woman today, all right? Because that's not kind of the point of this sermon. But she has a problem and she went to Jesus anyway. Amen? Having heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd, and touched his clothing. For she said, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be made well. Amen. Instantly her flow of blood ceased, and she sensed in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Verse 30. Immediately Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing against you, and yet you say, who touched me? But he was looking around to see who had done this. The woman, with fear and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Daughter, he said to her, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be healed from your affliction. So we could just preach that and be fine today. But that's not even the point today. See, what's Jairus doing during this time? Can we go back to him for a second? Jesus is supposed to be going with him to help his daughter. And he takes time. Instead, Jesus deals with this lady who needed help. So if you're Jairus, if I'm Jairus, I'm like, Jesus, let's go. My daughter is at death's door. What are you doing? Like, can't you help her later? We got to get to my daughter, right? Y'all see it? He had to have patience. So while this man needed his daughter to be healed, Jesus' attention is diverted, and Jairus has to wait. Don't miss it. He had to wait. See, patience is tough, but boy, it can teach us a lot, amen? Look in James chapter 5. This is oftentimes scripture that I struggle with because I have a hard time with patience. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, be patient until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and is patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You must also be patient. Strengthen your hearts because the Lord's coming is near. Brothers and sisters, do not complain about one another so that you will not be judged. Look, the judge stands at the door. Brothers and sisters, take the prophets who spoke in the Lord's name as an example of suffering and patience. See, we count as blessed those who have endured. You have heard of Job's endurance and have seen the outcome that the Lord brought about. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. And then Psalm 40 verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry for help. And guess what? Oftentimes, many times, that waiting brings something unexpected, does it not? You think about times in your life whenever you had to be patient. You didn't really want to be, but God was teaching you something through it. Didn't Jesus learn something? I mean, didn't Jairus learn something from this? What did he just see? Y'all, this is the, what did he just see? Somebody can answer this one.
Woman healed.
A woman healed. Y'all get it?
Saw his faith confirmed.
Right? Yes. He went to Jesus. And during that time of patience, of waiting, which had to be hard, my daughter's dying. Jesus, what are you doing? But what did he see Jesus do? Heal somebody. Oh, he is the one I can go to. Amen? Ooh, that'll preach. Do you have patience, or is that an area to work on? Next, perseverance. Number five. The football coach, and I think Debbie will, Gigi will appreciate this, but and my daddy and some others probably remember Nick Hyder, the football coach at Bayasa High, right, for a long time, won several state championships. Okay. My college roommate, Brian Barnhill, worked for him, and I asked him one day, I said, so I may have told you a story, but it'll still preach today. So I said, Brian, man, Nick Hyder, Coach Hyder must be an awesome motivator. Man, his pep talks must have peeled paint off the walls, man. I bet he had these guys like, woo, ready to go, because they were so good. He said, actually, he did the same thing before every game. He'd go over the game plan, and he would go to several guys and hit them on top of the helmet, and he would say, never quit, never quit, never quit, never quit. And he would just go never, 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 and then he would say, never quit, never quit, never quit. And they said it would just, whoa, so excited, ready to go. And I'm like, wow, that's all he said? All right, but that's awesome, you know. But see, we love it. See, this is the one we like, right? Man, we like perseverance and not quitting. That's in our DNA. Look at the next couple of verses, verse 35 and 36. While he was still speaking, people came from the synagogue leaders, Jairus' house, and said, your daughter is dead. Why bother to teach her anymore? I'm going to stop there. How did you think Jairus felt right there? Yes, he saw Jesus heal that lady, but man, if he just would have went straight to my house. So he starts questioning, right? Why bother to teach her anymore? When Jesus overheard what was said, he told the synagogue leader, don't be afraid, only believe. See, the situation has gone from bad to worse. Jairus could have listened to the people who told him not to bother Jesus anymore, but he didn't. And then Jesus encouraged him, did he not? He says, don't be afraid, believe. James 1 verses 2 through 4 says, consider a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. See, isn't that what perseverance is? Not fearing, but continuing to trust God no matter what things look like? To me, that's the definition of perseverance. Don't be afraid. Not fear, continuing to trust. keep pushing. See, this is, and this is from James Edwards, the theologian. He says, this is the challenge before Jairus. Let me read it to you because I can't say it any better than him. He said, this is the challenge before Jairus and before everyone who meets Jesus. To believe only in what circumstances allow, or to believe in the God who makes all things possible. I love that. One thing only is necessary, to believe. The present tense of the Greek imperative, by the way, means to keep believing. Keep on believing. To hold on to faith rather than to give in to despair. With respect to his daughter's circumstances, says Mr. Edwards, Jairus' future is closed. But with respect to Jesus, it's still open. And then I love this quote here. Faith is not something Jairus has, but something that has Jairus, carrying him from despair to hope. Jesus' authoritative word to Jesus is not to fear, but to believe. And can I be honest this morning and ask, if persevering and not quitting is something that our culture champions and pumps up for men in the athletic arena, right? You know, oh, that team didn't quit. It was down by 20 and it came back. You know, we champion those things, right? Then how come it's so easy for these same men to give up sometimes? Okay. In other areas. To stick it out. Stick it out. Okay? Well, you know, one of the things that I was encouraged, I mean, stay in your, I know things happen, but stay in your child's lives. One of the things I was very encouraged with whenever I quit coaching, because I could never go to the Valentine dances. When I went to Valentine dances and I saw several of my players, you know, which, by the way, several of them had kids before I had any kids. You know, but and seeing them at the sweetheart dance and they're still in their lives, you know, they're there. Now, I don't know the situation with her mom or in any of those, but it was still an encouragement to me to see that they still at least were in their lives.
Right.
Do you quit when things get tough, or do you persevere? Next, let's look at praise. And I need to speed it up because some of y'all are like, I know it's Father's Day, right? But you got out earlier, Mother's Day, Brother Pastor. All right. So, amen, amen. All right, praise, number 6. Mark 5, verse 37 to 42. He did not let anyone accompany him except Peter, James, and John, James' brother. They came to the leader's house, to Jairus' house. He saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. This is, you know, to give a little bit of background, that was a normal thing, okay? People would do that, all right? As when someone died, they would hire these mourners. Okay? That was their job, to mourn. Jesus went in and said to them, why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead but asleep. Well, in Jesus' mind, he knew what he was about to do, right? But the people there are probably like, what? She's dead. Okay. All right, I don't know what you're talking about. All right. They laughed at him. They laughed at Jesus. But he put them all outside. He took the child's father, mother, and those who were with him and entered the place where the child was. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kum, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl got up and began to walk. She was 12 years old. At this, they were utterly astounded. See, Jesus healed the girl, and they were astounded. Now, it doesn't come out and say that that Jairus praised God, but it does say they were utterly astounded. So, who's he talking about? He's making a reference to the parents. Jairus is in that group. He was astounded. I'm guessing that they would have been praising Jesus and being very thankful for him. Amen? I mean, they were astounded. I'm sure they would have just been like, oh, Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I didn't think it was going to happen because you went over and, you know, healed that other lady. But, you know, you did it anyway. Right? I'm just adding Brother Patrick's spin in there. Do we take time and praise and thank the Lord whenever our prayers and petitions are answered? Or what about when they're not answered? Or they're not answered the way we think? All right? See, do we praise them then anyway? So it reminds me of the song Even If, and I'm going to have a hard time, it's by Mercy Me. I might have a hard time reading it because every time I hear that song, I think of Miss Sue Allen and her funeral, and seeing them play that song at her funeral, and seeing her family just so emotional. Whew. But I still want to read this to you because I hope it speaks to you. It says, they say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now I'm losing bad. I've stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be all right, but right now, I just can't. It's easy to sing when there's nothing to bring me down, but what will I say
when I'm held to the flame like I am right now. I know you're able, and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. May that be a prayer that we have. Even if you don't fix this, God, I'm still going to trust you. I'm still going to praise you. Amen. They say it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. Well, good thing. A little faith is all I have right now. But God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, oh, give me the strength to be able to sing, "It is well with my soul." I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. I know the sorrow and I know the hurt would all go away if you just say the word. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. Listen, you've been faithful, you've been good all of my days. Amen. He woke us up this morning, guys. Jesus, I will cling to you, come what may, because I know you're able and I know you can. Do you stop and praise God for answered prayer? That's the proposition to ponder there. I go get to the last one, provision. Provision. Exploding Unicorn, who I had several funny tweets by him earlier, says this one. Says his three-year-old pouts. And my response is something wrong with your lunch? To which the three-year-old says, it's too wet. And to which I responded, it's soup. Right? Verse 43. Don't miss it. This is the very end of this, very end of it, okay? But don't miss it. Then he gave them strict orders that no one should know about this, which is interesting. We talked about that before. I'm not going to get into that today. And told them what? To give her something to eat. Don't miss it. Do your job again, Daddy. Right? Mommy, do your job. Give her something to eat. Keep keeping on. Keep showing up to work. Keep staying in the grind. Keep providing for your children. Keep on showing up in the cornfield. Right, Daddy? Right? Or turnips. Or squash. God bless you. Why'd you ever make the plant those? I'll never understand squash, Daddy. I'm sorry. I love you, but squash, really? All right. I don't even like how it tastes, you know? Right. To this day, I'll eat anything. Don't give me squash. Sorry, I had to say that. Keep showing up. And I want to say, the provision is more than just physical, by the way. Right. Yes, provide for them physically. Yes, keep showing up for work. Yes, but don't forget the emotional, mental part of it, and especially the spiritual aspect of it as well. Don't forget that. Don't y'all love that video?
Yes.
Right? I've seen it several times. I still cry. And Sally had to call me out. Don't. I love it, though. I love it. I love the mention of God in little things, you know, just a reminder. I was telling somebody that the other day. He was riding home with me from camp. I was going to say this, but I was riding home from camp, and I'm like, you know, when you have kids, you know, you have kids, you get married, you have kids. It doesn't have to. You don't have to have a 3-point sermon every night. You don't have to have that, right? But have some time. So just ask them, what are you thankful for today? I'm thankful for ice cream, Daddy. Amen. Me too. It doesn't have to be a 3-point sermon. But keep putting God before him. Amen. See, many fathers have only believed that they should provide for their children's physical needs. And I know that's a cultural thing. I know the generation of probably some of you in here. That was what was expected. Right? But it's more than that. See, we have daddy issues now. That's actually a thing. Yeah. What are you doing spiritually? Genesis 18, verse 19 says this, "For I have chosen him so that he will command his children and his house after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just." Let me read that again. "For I have chosen him," you, whoever you are, "so that he will command his children and his house after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just." Okay? To teach your children and to do it yourself. Do you? See, this is how the Lord will fulfill the Abraham what he promised. Don't drop the ball there. This is something else we can do. See, will you continue, the last question, to continue, will you commit to continue to serve and provide for your family in all areas? So I ask Mr. Lawrence to come, ask Sally to come as well. Is this a pattern worth pursuing? You're like, yeah, Brother Patrick, you made it clear. You went 5 minutes over. Yeah. Well, is it one, though? Is it a pattern worth pursuing? You bet it is. And even if you don't have kids or they're gone, they've grown and gone away, it's still a pattern that we can have as Christians, that we that we use our position for God, that our posture is one of humility, that we pray, that we go to God, right? That we have patience and perseverance. That's so hard, even when it doesn't make sense. Okay? And then we still praise. We still praise. And then we provide. Right? We do what we can if we do have a family. Right? Amen? So, my prayer is today, if you are a Christian, that you will strive to do these things. And if you're not, that today, Father's Day, it'll be the best day to make that decision. And I'm reminded of the two girls who gave their lives to Christ at camp. You know, and I talked to that to one of them who was in my class. Put my arm around her, and I says, "We talked about a lot of things in school, right, that I can't, but let me tell you, this is something I can't say to you in school, but I can say to you here. You made the most important decision that you'll ever make this week. I'm proud of you. And I love you." All right? And then she sat beside me at BBS the other night, and I was like, "Yeah." Right? So very simple. It's a matter of trusting what Jesus did on the cross is counting for you. If you have not made that decision, I pray that you will as we sing. Sally, come on up.